Yud Dalad Adar Rishon, Purim Katan, Tuesday the 19th of February, Rabbi David Rowe. What comes first, Shabbos or the Mishkan?
The Choshev Tzibur gathered here this morning every day to start the day so well, and also in the thanks to the indefatigable Dudi Iskovich, who always manages to find speakers and knows how to get teachers during the half term. So I would like to speak about the Mishkan and Shabbos, but before that we'll talk in general about mitzvahs. The Torah is full of mitzvahs and we try to keep all of the mitzvahs. What happens sometimes when there's a clash and we're presented in a situation where there are two mitzvahs in front of us and we really can't do both of them? Sometimes if there's time we'll do one after the other, but if there isn't time we'll have to choose which one. There's sometimes even a worse case. And one of the classic examples, although it's a bit complicated, comes in Psochim Daf Nun Tes, that if a person such as a Metzora has finished his Tzaras and he has to bring his Korbonos, the final Korban that he brings will enable him to eat other Korbonos, and until he's brought that, he's called a Mechusa Kippurim. So this applies to a Metzora and a Yoledes and a Zov and a Zova, that until they brought their last Korban, their Mechusa Kippurim, and they can't eat other korbanos. And it happens that such a person wanted to eat a korban at night time, a shlomim with the family meal gathering round, and he realized he hadn't done his mechusa, he brought his last korban to be allowed to join in the celebration. So he would bring his korban on that day. But what happens if he missed the time, and it was already after the time of the tomid shalbein harabai? So the afternoon tomid has to be the very last korban of the day. And he came along to the Beis HaMikdash and he missed the time. They'd already brought the tomid. It was still daylight and he wanted to bring his korban. So I have a mitzvah to bring my korban because that way I can eat my korban shlomim at night time, which is itself a mitzvah. But there's a mitzvah that one can't bring a korban after the tomid. Now this is written in the Torah. Which many of us say every day in davening in the parasha of the Ketores, and the Gemara infers from there Oleo Hashleim Kol HaKorbonos Kulam. The Oleo refers to the Korban Tomid in the afternoon. That has to be Hashleim, complete all the Korbonos with that Korban. It's the last one of the day. And it's known as the mitzvah of Hashlomo, although that word doesn't come in the Torah. The Torah just says, Oleo, Oleo Hashleim, we must finish off the Korbanos with the Korban Tomid. So now he's in a situation that if he brings his Korban, he's breaking the mitzvah saseh. It's not a lois saseh, it's a positive mitzvah to that the Tomid is the last Korban. But it's a positive mitzvah with negative ramifications. Effectively it's saying, you can't bring a Korban now. But on the other hand, he has a mitzvah to bring a Korban to finish off his tumah in order to be able to eat a Korban at night time. So here's a case where two mitzvahs asei clash with each other, where one is a positive thing to do and one implies a negative that he mustn't do. So if we look in the Torah to find a resolution for this shaila, we don't find. There's no guidelines that I'm aware of in the Torah, but the Gemara says in Psochim Daf Nun Tes that logic dictates to Svara, my ulmei hayasei, mahayasei. Why should one positive mitzvah be stronger than another one? All mitzvahs, we presume, are equal. And therefore, if you don't know what to do, how can you break one in order to keep another one? And therefore he has to do nothing. He will not be allowed to bring his korban because one asay cannot push aside another asay. There's no source in the Torah for this, but pure logic. However, as we know, all mitzvahs are equal, but some are more equal than others. And the Gemara says, what would happen if this story arose on Erev Pesach? Now, in the night time on Erev Pesach, he has to eat the Korban Pesach. It's not just any family celebration with a shlomim. It's not just, as it were, a mitzvah. It's a very special mitzvah, because Korban Pesach is Chai of Koris, if a person doesn't bring it. It's therefore a clue that this mitzvah is indeed a stronger, more powerful mitzvah than the Asei da Hashloma. And in such a case, the Gemara says, he would be allowed to bring his korban to complete his tahara of finishing being a Metzora, in order that he will be able to eat the Korban Pesach at night time, and he will be transgressing the mitzvah of Hashlomo. From Svara alone, we work out that the mitzvah of Korban Pesach is doicha. And it's not even doicha just for himself, it's even doicha for the Kohanim. They'll be allowed to participate in doing his Korban, of completing his Tahara, of being a Metzora, in order to enable him to get to the bigger mitzvah of being able to eat the Korban Pesach. In another occasion, which also comes up in Psochim, let's say we have an unfortunate situation, a terrorist, let's say of an unspecified religion, we don't want to pick on anyone in particular that might do this, who says to a Jewish man, you have to kill somebody or we will be killing you. So now we've got a clash between the mitzvah of killing somebody, which we know, of course, is osa. But on the other hand, there's a mitzvah to save one's own life. He's saying, I will kill you. It says, v'chai bohem. The Torah says that we must preserve life under almost all circumstances. We're allowed to break almost all the mitzvahs in the Torah in order to save a life, save our own life. And the only one where there's a clue that you mustn't is in Avodah Zorah. The Gemara says in Psochim Daf Kavhei, because it says we've got to serve Hashem b'chol levovcha, b'chol nafshecha, afilu hu noitel es nafshecha, we've got to serve Hashem. So from there we learn out that you mustn't do Avodah Zorah to save a life. But there's no source in the Torah what to do if in this case, of which I'm aware. So a man actually had this situation. He was told by the leaders of his community, the non-Jewish leaders in Psochim, that he has to kill another Jew or he will be killed. And he was allowed a day or two, I suppose, to think the matter over. And he did what any ordinary Jew would do. He asked a shaila, and he went to Rava. And Rava answered him with the famous phrase, "My chozis de doma didoch soimek tvei, dilma doma dahu gavra soimek tvei." Yes, you're worried about your life, and V'chai Bohem tells you that your life is very important, and you can break almost everything in the Torah, but he's also got a life, and of all mitzvahs in the Torah, we can't use V'chai Bohem to permit taking another life, because then you've lost the V'chai Bohem on the other person. But this ultimately was Rava's logic. There was no source in the Torah that said this. It's the logic of Rava was that when you're confronted with loisirtoch, which is murder, it's rather we should say a person must give up his own life. So these are sort of easy cases, although life and death in one of them, but it's easy to work out the solution, and Hashem left it to us without any hint in the Torah as to what to do in such a situation. What about if a person is confronted with a positive mitzvah, an aseh, and a lois aseh at the same time? So a classic case would be somebody who's got a wonderful linen garment made of pishtim, and he four corners, and he puts on the tzitzis strings on the corner, and he uses the tcheles. Let's not talk about nowadays tcheles, which is debatable, but in the olden days when the vaday had tcheles, he puts it on his four-cornered linen garment. Tcheles has to be made of wool. He's got a shatnez garment in his hands, and he's thinking of putting it on and even saying a brocha on the mitzvah of tzitzis. And somebody would say to him, how could you dream of doing such a thing? You'll be doing the loisah of shatnez, and how can one possibly do a loisah of shatnez at the same time as one is doing a positive mitzvah? Just like there's no way a person who's missing a lulav or tefillin, and the only way he could get hold of them is by stealing them. Nobody would say you're allowed to steal in order to do the mitzvah of lulav or tzitzis. It's a mitzvah habor b'aveira. And how could one then possibly think of putting on tzitzis and shatnas at the same time? All right, one might look at these week's sedras, and we see about the big day kahuna, that definitely the Kohen Gadol wore shatnas every day on the choshen and the ephod. And some say that all the Kohenim wore shatnas in the begodim. But that's not a proof, because that's what we call mitzvah sabakach. Hashem made that as a commandment. Of course, sharpness is generally not allowed. It's an exception that it's permitted and even instructed with the big day kohuna. But somebody who's in the situation of Stam wanting to do a mitzvah saseh and is confronted with a lois saseh of sharpness, I don't think anybody originally would have dreamed that this would be possible. In fact, it says in the posuk in Kiseitze, one posuk says, do not wear sharpness, and the very next posuk says, do wear tzitzis. So the Gemara says, well, why are these psukim put together? It can't be to tell me that I can't wear tzitzis with shatnas, because that's logical that you can't do an aveira of shatnas. I would have assumed that without being told anything. It must rather be that Hashem is giving a clue that for some reason we can wear tzitzis with shatnas. And he's teaching us that the positive mitzvah can be doicha, the negative mitzvah of shatnas. And this is the source for the general rule of Asei Doicha Loisa Aseh, just the fact that Hashem wrote those two psukim together. There are many conditions when we apply it. After all, it's a clash with what we said a moment ago of a mitzvah habo of Aveira. Here he's going to get the mitzvah of tzitzis with an Aveira of sharpness. And then we said you can't steal in order to take somebody else's arba minin. On that, one answer simply is that one of the rules is that it depends if it happens at the same time or not. If it happens, if one has to steal, and that's an aveira, in order to do a mitzvah later, that's not allowed. But if it happens at the same time that one is putting on the garment, so it's tzitzis and sharpness at the same time, then we say the rule of asei doicha lo yisaseh, and there may be other conditions for it as well, of course. But this... It's interesting that the Ramban says a logic behind it. Our first thought would have been that a lois aseh is more important and stronger than a mitzvah aseh, because we know the punishment for breaking a lois aseh is generally malchus, and the punishment for breaking a mitzvah aseh is not known. There's no known punishment in this world. And we said earlier, when there's kores or something big involved, it tells us which mitzvah is more important. So how could we do an aseh and a lois aseh at the same time? So the Ramban says, whenever we refrain from doing a mitzvah, an aveira, whenever we keep the lois aseh and we're thinking of eating treif, or we're thinking of saying loshon hara, whenever we refrain, that is a display of yirah shamayim. We show that we fear Hashem, and yirah is a very great mila. Whenever we do a positive mitzvah, we put ourselves out, whatever it is, that shows avas Hashem, we show the love of Hashem, and the love, avo, is greater than yirah. And therefore, an aseh is doicha alois aseh. I don't think the Ramban means what he would have thought of that on his own, as it were, and said, with that we can ourselves understand that an aseh is doicha alois aseh. But now that Hashem has told us, then we can apply it. What do we see sometimes? Another example is in the Seder of Kedoshim, Ish imoi va'oviv tiro'u v'eshabsoisai tishmoiru. The pasuk says we should fear our parents and keep Shabbos. So they're written together to teach something. But what are they coming to teach us? It could be teaching you that you have to fear your parents so much that even if they tell us to break Shabbos, we have to listen to them. Or it could be telling you, although there's an important mitzvah, fearing the parents, Shabbos is more important. How can one tell from the way in which they're written? Is the first phrase stronger than the second one or not? And it seems clear that in theory, the first phrase would be more important. Fearing the parents is so important. It's one of the mitzvahs that's always been one of my favorites ever since I've had children. I wasn't so strong on it while I was unmarried, but ever since then I've encouraged everyone to fear their parents. And it is approaching the fear of Hashem. It's on the first half of the Luchos. It's a very important mitzvah. And we would have said that it is even stronger than breaking Shabbos. It's only because Hashem wrote it in the way that Es Shabsoisai Tishmoiru in the plural, and therefore he's saying not only should we, the man, Ish, the man who has to fear his parents, but Shabbos has to be observed by the plural, Tishmaru, even by the parents as well. Ani Hashem, it says at the end. And therefore there's extra clues in the Pasuk that really we have to keep Shabbos and not listen to the parents, although I tried to handle it sensitively if ever it would happen. So again, we see from there that what is mentioned first has got precedence in the Torah. And therefore, by mentioning the parents first, it would have had precedence, except that Hashem had to correct the apostle misinterpretation by writing Tishmurin in the plural. And finally, still from Kedoshim, we find coming round to Shabbos and the Mikdosh, Es Shabsoisai Tishmoiru Umikdoshai Tiro'u. The Pasuk says, keep Shabbos and fear the Beis HaMikdosh. Well, fearing the Beis HaMikdosh means behaving with Derech Eretz and even more so in the Beis HaMikdosh with Yiroh. But the fact that Hashem put them together is also giving a clue, says Rashi in Kedoshim, that when we have a clash between Shabbos and the Mishkan, and we want to build the Mishkan or the Beis HaMikdosh on Shabbos, we're not allowed to. So there, we see that the first one that's mentioned, Shabbos, is the one that is the stronger one. In theory, we would have thought that we could build the Mishkan on Shabbos, because building the Mishkan, once the Mishkan is active, there will be korbanos that we're allowed to do, and lighting the menorah, and other things that we can even do on Shabbos. We can, as it were, break Shabbos in the Mishkan. And therefore, I might have thought that you could even build the Mishkan on Shabbos. It's something which overrides Shabbos. But Hashem wrote it that Shabbos is the stronger one. But how does Rashi know which one was the one? Maybe the Torah was telling you the opposite. You can have Shabbos and the Mishkan, and the Mishkan is so strong that even on Shabbos. So we come to our Sedra at last. In Kisisa is a continuation from Terumah and Tetzaveh, all about the Mishkan and the Kelim, and the first parasha of Kisisa. And after all of that, it finally says the mitzvah of Shabbos, immediately after, just before Sheni. And it starts with the words, Ach es Shabsoisai Tishmoiru. So Rashi says, because of the word Ach, it's telling you, but everything I've told you till now is true. You should build the Mishkan and do it in the nicest way according to all the instructions. But you should remember Shabbos. So that Ach is clearly telling you that Shabbos tells you that Hashem is telling us that Shabbos overrides the Mishkan. And although having written the Mishkan first, for many Sedras, we would have said, and you can even do it on Shabbos. Hashem never says explicitly what to do with the Mishkan on Shabbos. I would have assumed that whatever is written first is the most important. Nevertheless, because it says Ach, we decide that not like that. I saw quoted that the Ramban says, I looked it up, the Ramban says it's Akash on Rashi. How can you say Ach? Ach excludes, it excludes something within the mitzvah of which it is excluding. Like Ach Es HaZohov in Matos, when it talks about toiveling gold, you must toivel the gold, Ach, but make sure there's no rust or other marks on it. But if Ach is telling you something about Shabbos, it would be limiting Shabbos and saying, although you must keep Shabbos, Ach Es Shabbos, there's a case where you don't have to keep Shabbos. If anything, the very word Ach looks like it is telling you that that you could break Shabbos in order to build the Mishkan. But I saw quoted the Be'er Yitzchok says, we find with Noach, Ach Bosa B'Nafshai, Ach Bosa B'Nafshai, after telling the rules about what you're allowed to eat, it says, but you may not eat Eva Minachai, and therefore the word Ach can sometimes not only be excluding within itself, it can be excluding in the previous parasha. So the previous parasha here was the Mishkan, and he's saying, build the Mishkan all the time, Ach, but don't build the Mishkan on Shabbos. We also find this in Vayakhel. Vayakhel starts off with the mitzvah of Shabbos in the first two or three psukim. And then the rest of Vayakhel and Pekudei is nearly all more again about the Mishkan. And Rashi asks there, why does we start Vayakhel with Shabbos? To tell you that Shabbos is more important than the Mishkan, and we can't build the Mishkan on Shabbos. And Rashi even says the word hikdim, because it's written first in the beginning of Vayakhel, and especially it seems, I saw one that again, the Be'er Yitzchok says that the parasha of Vayakhel, where Hashem gathered all the people, wasn't really to tell them Hilchos Shabbos, although that's mentioned first. Vayakhel was to tell them all about the Mishkan. Moshe Rabbeinu had heard it from Hashem, and here he was passing it on to Klal Yisrael, and therefore it was such a big thing. He had to tell them about gathering and building. So it was Vayakel. So why does he mention Shabbos at the beginning? Because that's part of the rules of the Mishkan, even though it never says beferish that Shabbos overrides the Mishkan. But the fact that he started off with Hilchas Mishkan by talking about Shabbos, that itself was a clue. So we see that in both this week's Sedra and Vayakel, we have the same instruction twice. Namely, that Shabbos clashes with the Mishkan. We can't build a Mishkan on Shabbos. In Kisisa, we find that the Mishkan is mentioned first, and Truma, Tetzava, and Kisisa. And in Vayakel, Shabbos is mentioned first. But whichever order it's written, it always comes to tell us that Shabbos overrides the building of the Mishkan. Once it's written because it's first, and even in this week's Sedra where it's second, the word Ach corrects that possible misunderstanding. So either way, Hashem is telling us twice, do not build the Mishkan on Shabbos. So I came across this question many years ago. Why do we need Hashem, as it were, to tell us the same message twice? And why does he do it on one occasion by putting Shabbos first in Vayakel and by putting the Mishkan first in Kisisa? So I came across, and I looked it up having been asked to speak, I looked it up again just now, and I came across three answers for this over the years. The Kli Yochor says, if we look at Shabbos, Shabbos is a mitzvah to honor Hashem. It's got so many ramifications, but it reminds us, Kisheshes Yomim Osa Hashem Esha Shemaim Esha Oretz, Hashem made the world at the beginning. It's, of course, only kept by the Bnei Yisrael, but it's really to remind us how Hashem made the world. It's all about Hashem, Shabbos Hayom LaHashem. The Mishkan, on the other hand, is really for the sake of the Bnei Yisrael. That the Shekhinah should be present in the Bnei Yisrael. It's Eidus Hu L'Boi Oilon, that Hashem loves the Bnei Yisrael. It was a sign to us that He had forgiven us for the Egel. And therefore, the Mishkan is really aimed at the Bnei Yisrael. So when Hashem is speaking in Kisisa, in this week's Sedra, He, in His humility, puts the honor of the Bnei Yisrael first. So he tells us all the rules of the Mishkan, Teruma and Tetzava and a bit of Kisisa, because he loves the Bnei Yisrael and he wants to mention them first. And at the end he mentions Shabbos. Of course I have to tell you that Shabbos you can't build the Mishkan. So he mentions his own mitzvah, which is referring to himself, in only second. And that's the order in Vayakel. In Kisisa. When it comes to Vayakel, this is Moshe Rabbeinu speaking to the Bnei Yisrael. He wants to present the same point about Shabbos coming before the Mishkan, but he wants to honor Hashem, as it were, first, and therefore he mentions, first of all, Shabbos, which is the Yom LaShem, and then he mentions the Mishkan, which is to honor us. Interestingly, I once came across the same Kli Yochor says a similar idea in the Sedra of Matos. Just previously, the daughters and the leaders of Midian had caused a great sin among Bnei Yisrael, and thousands of people had died in the Magefa, and it was a chilul against Hashem, and it was a chilul against the Bnei Yisrael. And Hashem decided to punish Midian and to take revenge against them, and he said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Nekoim Nikmas Yisrael. I want you to take revenge in the honor of Yisrael. And when Moshe addressed the Bnei Yisrael, he said to them, Nekoim Nikmas Hashem. So he changed the wording. So the Kli Yochor there, the Lishitosa, he says the same chat. He says, when Hashem is saying it to the Bnei Yisrael, he's concerned about our honor, that we lost people and we went down. So we have to take Nekoim Nikmas Yisrael. When Moshe was speaking to the people, he wanted to put Hashem first. There was a Chilul Hashem in this, Nekoim Nikmas Hashem. And also the Yom Tov of Pesach is approaching, and we always call it Pesach, and the Torah is always called Chag HaMatzos. So many say the Chag HaMatzos is what Hashem calls it, attributing honor to us, that we were prepared to go after Him without any provisions except a few matzahs that were left over. And we call it Pesach to honor Hashem that He passed over our houses, even though there was a chance that we could have been killed. I came across the Beis HaLevi. He gives a moshel of a father who's marrying off his son. When you marry off your son, you have to see to it that he's got the necessities, the furniture, a place to live, and a father, will, if he's able to, will help this. And as well, it was a custom, he says, if you're well off, to give a gold watch to your son. So nowadays it's been transferred, and often the parents of the colour buy a gold watch for the chosan. But he's describing it as it was. So you have to, you're providing for your son a gold watch as well as lots of furniture. There could be a case where you love the son very much and you're happy with this marriage, and there could be a case where you don't quite love him so much and you're not so happy with this marriage. The difference will show itself, says the Beis Halevi, in the order in which you buy the things. If you really love the son and the marriage and everything is so wonderful, all you can think of is to buy him a present. I want to buy you the gold watch to show how much we love you and the situation. So you'll buy him the gold watch and give it to him and say, don't worry about the furniture, the other necessities. Of course we'll provide them in due course. By the time you get married, everything. But I just want to give you this present, overflowing love. If he doesn't love his son, says the Beis Halevi, and he's not happy with this situation, he's going to get him the gold watch, but it'll sort of be an afterthought. Really, he'll get in the necessities first, which are the furniture and the other things. He'll make sure everything's provided. And b'dieved, he'll say, well, here's a gold watch, which is customary to give, and I hope wish you a long, happy life. So, says the Beis Halevi further, when we look at the two mitzvahs of the Mishkan and Shabbos, one of them is a present, and one of them is a necessity. And of course, Shabbos is the necessity. We've never had a week without Shabbos, and we couldn't. B'nai Yisrael have kept Shabbos, and Shabbos has kept the B'nai Yisrael. And therefore, that is an absolute necessity for us to have week in, week out, and we have to have it. The Mishkan, the Beis HaMikdash are the most wonderful things, but they are luxuries. And sadly, we've survived for 2,000 years without the Beis HaMikdash, and we've still survived. And therefore, in the Sedra of Kisisa, which is this week's Sedra, it's still before the Egel. Before the Egel, Hashem loved us so much that all he could think of, as it were, was to give the present and mention the Mishkan, and that's mentioned first. And he throws in Shabbos afterwards, and of course, as the necessity, I remind you of Shabbos. However, when it comes to Vayakel, that's already after we've read the Egel, the way it's presented in the Torah, it's after the Egel has happened, Hashem's love for us wasn't quite the same, we never restored it exactly as it was, then the Shabbos comes first, which is the necessity, and the Mishkan becomes the present, which is sort of thrown in a bit b'dieved. I finally came across the Meshe Chochmah, who also differentiates between before the Egel and after the Egel, with a very original pshat. We've said all the time that the Mishkan, once it's built, one can break Shabbos. In the Mishkan, we light the menorah, we bring certain korbanos on Shabbos. And therefore we thought that even before the Mishkan is built, we would be allowed to break Shabbos in the building of it. And he adds further that there are some cases where we don't even do the actual mitzvahs on Shabbos. We do what's called machshirim. The machshirim such as roasting the oimer to make it ready to be dried out, to be brought. If it falls on Shabbos, we're allowed to do that on Shabbos. And baking the shtei alechem for Shavuos, if it comes out on Shabbos, we'd be allowed to do it according to one opinion. So before the Beis HaMikdash was built, we couldn't do anything like that. We couldn't even build the Beis HaMikdash or the Mishkan because the Shekhinah wasn't among us. Once it's there, the Shekhinah dwells among us, and then it even overrides Shabbos. Says the Beis HaChochmah very originally that before we built the Egel, the Shekhinah was already among the B'nai Yisrael. It was true that he wanted a place to be, but the Shekhinah was already there manifesting itself in some way or other. And therefore suggests the Beis HaChochmah that they would have been allowed to build the Mishkan on Shabbos. And in fact, they were allowed to build the Mishkan. When Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu about building the Mishkan, he meant, and you can also build it on Shabbos, because the Shekhinah is already there. You can already be Machal on Shabbos for the Mishkan, because the Kedusha and the Shekhinah is among Klal Yisrael. They are perfect people, Ish Echol, Belev Echol, having accepted the Torah, they were removed all impurities that we could imagine. And therefore it would have been permitted to be Doicha Shabbos even in the building of the Mishkan. And that's why it's mentioned First, in Truma and Tetzava and Kisisa. And even though it says Achas Shabsoisai, and Rashi says Ach means you can't, and that's beforehand, the Gemara in Yumad has other interpretations of the word Ach, or maybe Rashi has written the word Ach according to what turned out to be the conclusion. And in the conclusion, unfortunately, we made the Egel, and having made the Egel, the Shekhinah was no longer among us, and therefore the Shekhinah is only present when we will have the base, the Mishkan, and only then will we be allowed to be Doiche Shabbos, but we will not be allowed to be Doiche Shabbos in the building of the Mishkan. So in conclusion, we've had two psukim in Shmois that teach us that Shabbos is stronger than the Mishkan in two different ways. Either it's written first or it's written second. The Kli Yochar explained it his way in the Beis Halevi and the Neshe Chochma. Why is it also repeated, as it were, for a third time in Kedoshim? We mentioned the pasuk earlier. It's, and Rashi again says that putting them together is again to tell us that you can't build it on Shabbos. Why do we have to have a third message? So maybe that one says Mikdosh. It's not talking about the Mishkan, it's talking about the Beis HaMikdosh itself. And even though we know we can't build the Mishkan on Shabbos, because it is Shabbos overrides that, maybe that's because the Mishkan was a temporary thing. It only lasted for 40 years in the Midbar, another 200 or 300 years in Eretz Yisrael. But the Beis HaMikdosh, which was Kavua and Abayis and Anachalo, and maybe that would have been Doiche Shabbos. So Hashem says, even on that occasion, as Shabsoisai Tishmoiru overrides Ves Mikdoshai Tirou. Sadly, we said we've survived 2,000 years without the Beis HaMikdosh. May we be Zoicha to be able to start the rebuilding of the new Beis HaMikdosh. Sadly, only on a weekday, but maybe this weekday will happen b'mheirav yomeinu. Amen.